They act like gents. That's a bright decent.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. And the Washington Commanders won on a Hail Mary that is absolutely the talk of the United States of America.
Yes.
Me and B holding it down in College Park, Maryland, home of the Terrapins. We got a blood drive. We're trying to help some people do some good things. Good morning, Brian.
What up, Jay?
You and I saw each other last night. After that game, we were in the tunnel. It was sheer chaos in there.
It was bedlam.
So where were you for the Hail Mary?
I was standing midway up the tunnel,
okay,
trying to look at the field and at the TV.
The TV in the hallway going down to the locker room?
No, the one that's,
the one above the tunnel.
The one above where you saw me at.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was in the press box, and as things are kind of unraveling there, you wonder. So Jaden takes the snap, rolls right.
Did he have that thing about 15 seconds?
13 seconds. After the game, DQ was like, that was a long-ass play.
But think about it. The play, this was what threw me a little bit. I looked up on the clock. It was supposedly 18 seconds on the clock. They ran one play, then it was 5 seconds on the clock. What the hell happened right there?
I'll try to pull it up. They called a timeout at 6 seconds. No, they – It was
18, then it stopped at 5.
First and 10 at the 24. Jaden goes deep to Ertz over the middle, incomplete. Then second and 10 from the 24. Jaden connects with Ertz for 11. They had to call their timeout there. So it went from 12 to 6.
Okay, I just looked at it last
then they were able
when
to get
18.
They were able to get one more playoff to Terry for a 13-yard gain, and he got out of bounds. Which, honestly, if you're the Bears, like, that might be
that was the backbreaker right there.
Because it makes it a reasonable throw, because then you've got the ball at midfield. It was first and 10 from the 48, 2 seconds left. I mean, the play was unbelievable. You don't want to start to dive into too much grandiosity, but, like, what the hell do these guys have cooking? All week. I mean, Jaden was clearly beat up. I'm not saying he was hurt, but, like, he doesn't feel great. He took a couple shots to the ribs. We know
they were trying to get in his head. They were hitting him late. They were trying to get in his head. Big
Bears
time.
Have a good defense too.
Yeah.
I mean, they deserve some credit. It was, but to win like that was just so spectacular, so unexpected, and all of it just kind of continues to add up. And it's Brian, I've covered probably every game for that team for over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched games since I was a boy, right? Like, mm-hmm. I've never experienced something like that in a home. No, there have been bigger games, right? There have been playoff wins and Super Bowl wins. And even, like, of the new era, which has largely sucked, there still have been bigger games. Week 17, 2012, won the division, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
There have been bigger moments. But no singular moment, no singular instance of that kind of play resulting in that kind of pandemonium and that kind of just ecstasy has existed.
It's just an extension of all the excitement that's been going on. You know, you look at this thing when they purchased the team. People were so excited then. Then you go to Adam Peters. Then you go to Dan Quinn. And you start getting some people in. All of a sudden, boom, you draft Jaden. It's like it's constant. And I forgot who it was yesterday. They said when you win games like that, it lets you know you're a good team. Because everybody likes to say, oh, that was luck. That was that. You know what? Know what happens? No one's lucky. People that are good.
Well, and people that put themselves in position.
Hell yeah.
Terry McLaurin talked about this at his locker after the game. They practice that tip drill all the time.
Yeah.
He's like, DQ has us go through end-of-game scenarios. We practice that tip drill all the time. And look, that's something that there are probably some dudes that are like, man, why are we practicing this? This is never going to actually happen.
Now he got an answer for him.
Right.
Like, he got an answer for him now.
Is there an element of luck involved? Hell yes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you put yourself in position to take advantage of that.
Well, I'll say this, Jay. Jaden Daniels came on on our show right after the game.
Yeah,
immediately,
I saw that.
And I'm gonna tell you this: that kid is so damn polished and good. He say, "Man, everybody gonna talk about that play right there." He said, "But our defense won that game." He said the defense gave us an opportunity and kept us in the game the whole time. You look at it, four field goals, and the defense basically was not allowing a lot. You know, but if you keep putting them out there, you know, the other team, you got NFL players. They're going to make some plays eventually. But that defense yesterday, to me, they were playing the pass rush and all that. Newton, bad man.
Johnny Newton really had his coming out party. They weirdly haven't. I'm hoping this gets changed, but it might be a stupid rule thing. Johnny Newton had his first sack. It wasn't scored as a sack because technically Caleb might have been running backwards. I think it was a sack all damn day. I hope he gets it.
Behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, but if the scorekeeper determines that it was a designed run, which I don't think it was, I'm hoping it gets changed.
Yeah.
The rookie deserves his first sack. But then he also has a fumble recovery. They also got – what also helped is Shane Waldron. And why you're handing the ball off on a –
Man,
on
refrigerated pair is not playing anymore. Dude. What the hell are you doing?
I mean, it was just so dumb. Caleb Williams was god-awful through three quarters of this thing. Mm-hmm. And – the defense deserves a lot of credit, and whatever's going on with him is an issue. If you look defensively to your point, Brian, they were 2-12 on third down in this game. 2-12, the Bears. 2-12 on third down in this game. Penalties were a factor for both teams. They won in time of possession. Caleb, at halftime, I think, had 33 yards passing.
He was 4 of 12 or something like that at halftime.
It was – I think he was 3 of 12. And
he finished up 10 of 20-something.
Yeah, he finished
for 131.
10 of 24 for a .130.
Yeah. Which,
and Jaden, the yardage – now, the yardage is helped out by a 50 – whatever it was, 58-yard bomb at the end.
He still had 270 before that.
Right. And Jaden finished 21 to 38 for 326 with a touchdown, ran it 8 times for 52 yards. I think Jaden has shown and continues to show, but the guts of that kid are damn near impossible to measure.
Yeah.
And I've said this before, like, what matters – when you see your quarterback, because the quarterbacks get to operate in their own universe. Like, there's the team and then there's the quarterbacks.
Yep.
And the quarterbacks that can thread that needle to be part of everything and doing their own thing, they do it by showing how tough they are. That the old lineman with the bone bruise in his calf or the DB that's playing through a sprained tricep, like, those guys are gutting it out, right?
Yeah.
And when the quarterback does that, It just means so much to the locker room.
Especially if your quarterback is that type of quarterback, you know, and that elevation of it. You know, that quarterback right there definitely does it for you. I think what I look at ultimately is this. What Brett Favre did in Green Bay, when Brett Favre was getting long and Warren Sapface and anybody else, your team say, I could back that guy. Jaden Daniels, he does it in a different way where he's so humble and he makes himself a part of everybody else. Where guys want to go to war for you.
Totally.
So I was like, you know, all week I know you were banged up. And, you know, how did you get through? He said, man, I did. I had the same routine. I was there at the same time. I was leaving at the same time I usually leave. He said, but I had a long stint in the training room to get myself here. And he wasn't – I don't think he was 100%. But who the hell was still looking at that game yesterday and say he was not supposed to be on the field? You know what I mean? The guy, he's tough as hell. And ever since I saw – when I came here, I showed you that video I saw on social media.
Yeah.
When I saw that in my mind, and I was trying to keep it cool, I'm like, this dude's going to play. Dude cracks his ribs and go back in the game in college and destroys the football team.
Yep.
You know, he has these weeks to get ready. You know, the NFL pro, they're going to allow him that opportunity to heal up. In college, he probably wouldn't have had that opportunity like that. I felt he would go, and I think he was not completely on like he is. But he was on enough.
I was pretty
he was
certain
on enough.
Yeah, I was pretty certain by Thursday afternoon he was going, to the point where if anybody saw me on NBC4 on Friday afternoon, we taped that on Thursday. Don't tell anybody. but like, because you know, I had to leave the radio. Like, I had something I had to do that afternoon, so it was like a unique situation. But then, certainly when they let him talk to the media Friday afternoon, it's like, all right, this kid's playing.
Yeah,
and then Vegas adjusts the line. Like, at some point, the mystery was over.
You know, you look for the Shefty to start putting out his little stuff, and
attempt
I'm like,
to try to play, attempt to try to practice.
Attempt to try was a little weird,
right?
But then he starts saying it looks like he's leaning toward. Once he says that, that means I'm just not telling y'all right now.
What?
I'm going to drag you along until the next day. And then on Saturday, you basically feel, yeah, he's going, he's playing.
One of my favorites was Schefter, I think it was Saturday, had the talk to one source, sounds like Jaden Daniels will play, quote, he's one tough-ass dude. I could think of one source in that building that used tough ass or long ass. That, like, that's his go-to descriptor, and I think we might know who that was. But regardless, Tracy Wilson, here's what I'll say. Dan Quinn described the Hail Mary play last night as one long ass play. Tracy Wilson was on the CBS broadcast yesterday, and she just tweeted this out. My Monday morning recap. I've been a part of a lot of incredible games, but that one is right at the top. Right now, it's Washington's world, and we are all living in it. Mm-hmm. When a team has it, things tend to just work out. Think Chiefs. This Commanders team is special.
Yep.
And that leaving that game, leaving that stadium – you know how I always call in? I called a doc on the post game. Mm-hmm. Couldn't even get through.
Hey, man. I left. So I was there an hour and something later. Like you're there later than me. But when I left, normally I could just roll out.
Right.
Wasn't no rolling out yesterday.
People were vibing.
The fans might have left out the building, but they didn't leave the parking lot.
Yeah, dude.
they were tailgating like hell out there, man, having a good time. So luckily I was just going only like 0.4 miles up the street.
Sure.
You know, to get where I was going, but it was the atmosphere was outstanding. And listen, Tanner and I are sitting there, bro. I had to apologize to Tanner. I think I almost broke his hand when I high fived him. You know, but dog, what was it? Channel 7, Abraham.
Yeah,
bro. I grabbed the two shoulders. I was jumping like I was 10 years old, man. It's like when you
– I mean, when I saw you by the time I
got man, when you're enjoying this thing, when things are going like it's going, I don't care who you are, former player, old person, young person, new, whatever, you're going to let it come out. And for people that don't want to believe things about this team right now, one finger salute to you. Get the hell out of here. Get out of here. They have proven enough about how good they could possibly be. And let's think about this. As Brian said last night, Brian Colbert, we haven't played our best game yet. We still haven't played a complete game.
Both sides of the ball.
Yes.
Yeah. Because offensively, they were at their best.
Three phases of the ball. Sure. Don't be forgetting about special teams.
Cincy, I think they played really good specials, too.
Yeah.
They haven't played all three phases
there you go.
Their best.
So just imagine that.
Yeah. You know what? Last night, we've been seeing this cocktail build of, like, the Snyder stench is finally gone, right? Like, he's been gone for over a year now. And how about the light show last night?
Yeah.
Like, how did you know that was coming?
No.
Bro, so there was the one thing they needed to invest
well,
in.
Well, when
over
it
there
first happened,
Wi-Fi.
I was like, oh, hold on now. The light didn't go out, did it?
Dude.
And then it started to move around. I'm like, okay, that was playing.
So for folks that didn't see this, because it was during a TV timeout, so they might not have shown it, it was, I want to say, fourth quarter. Now, it ends up that PR had texted, like, the group of reporters, hey, just so you know and are aware, there's about to be a light show. Don't be alarmed when the lights go out. But my phone was wacky yesterday, and I didn't get that text till like, after the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting there. I want to say it was fourth quarter. Maybe it was late third, whenever it was. But this is what, like, maybe they do it here in Maryland. Like, dope college football stadiums do these light shows.
Yeah.
And like the first time I ever experienced it was at the Bama LSU game. But so they go to TV timeout. We're all in the stadium, and it just goes dark. Like all the lights go off, and I was like, yo, did the electricity just go out? Like, what the hell just happened?
Uh-huh.
And then it was like 2-3 seconds of darkness, and then this wild light show. And it was just another reminder of how new and different everything is there. Because you know how you get dope-ass light shows, Brian? You spend money.
There you go.
Like some of things in life aren't that complicated. Ownership is putting the money in to make the scene, the vibe, the experience that much better. And at the end of that game, B, when I was just watching the players run into the locker room and the celebratory nature of everything, and then you go out on the field and the fans are still there just going nuts, and you see it on social media, you just kind of see it across the board, and you realize like they have this mix of new ownership, doing things the right way, willing to spend money to reinvest into the product.
Yeah.
And, dude, Adam Peters, you can pick which free agent signing you want to discuss or which draft pick you want to discuss? How about Noah Brown? How about the guy that caught the Hail Mary touchdown last night? He signed him when the Texans cut him, and he moved immediately to sign him.
Yep.
The moves Peters has made have hit so consistently.
Yes.
Go down a level. And, you know, there was a fair amount of consternation when Dan Quinn got the job, right? Oh, you can't hire a defensive guy. Oh, I think there was real burnout from the talk of culture during Ron's 4 years. Whatever DQ is doing, it's different and it's working.
You know what he's doing?
The level of buy-in.
What he's doing is actively getting the people to understand what he wants. He's not just saying it all the time. See, that little thing about if you say something often enough, people begin to believe it. No, you can say it all you damn want. If you don't put the work into it, it's not going to happen. And you can watch this football team, and things that they do on the field, they actively do during practice. They've actively done since they got here in OTAs and all that. It's just a combination of, you know, all of a sudden that it's starting to click, and it's starting to click on a regular basis. It's not all that talk. You know, like I was a little saying, don't talk about it, be about it. They're being about it. We had too much talk going on before.
I totally agree with that. And if you just think about, okay, just think about like the levels, the tiers of it. Ownership on board.
Yep.
Front office, you got the guy. Coaching. A lot of coaching is just dialing the knobs up right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Cliff's offense, what they're doing defensively, the improvement and the buy-in of just the team vibe. And, Brian, then when you add the quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, it starts to look like, holy moly, they got something. You know what I mean?
It definitely does.
Something sustainable and something real and not just a sugar high like we've seen in the past.
I think what happens, though, coaching is understanding that your job rides on how well you communicate with those players. If they get exactly what you're saying and you can get it across to them the proper way, then great things will happen. But there are a lot of coaches out there who think it's all about them. Okay, they get caught up in that little hype. Like I've said to you before, coaches have bigger egos than players. Well, this coach here doesn't care about the ego. He cares about getting his players to play, and they're doing it for him.
I don't know that there's a lot of concern about ego on the team.
Sack
totals, touchdown, you know what I mean? All that. Like, and that I would credit to a rookie quarterback in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Jaden's not. Dude is not worried about his Instagram. He's not worried about his – remember, like, he had the thing with the waffles, and then I asked him about it. He's like, yeah, man, I got to tell you the truth. Like, somebody else handles that stuff. Like, I'm not really that invested. Like, he's just – that dude is about ball, and then the team in turn is about ball.
What I always say, Jay, if your first job is great, then you can think about a second. He's worried about the first job. How many guys you see come in and all they trying to do is – become something big off the field. But if you're not big on the field, you won't be big off the field.
And that's not to say that stuff ain't coming. I can imagine how many commercials are coming. Yes.
Because he's invested in the right thing. But too many people worry about what's going to happen instead of what they need to get done.
You got to credit, like, his family, his background, clearly to develop a young man, like, to that level right now. But when somebody – Ryan Keel, I was texting with him this morning, and he's like, man – It's hard to ignore the momentum they're building right now.
Yeah.
And this is former players with Super Bowl rings that notice these things. You know what I mean? And as fans, as analysts, as media, as people that are surround it and have been around it for a long time, you see last night and you know something is different. What else is different right now is that it's cold as hell, and 2 days ago it was 80 degrees. Warm days and chilly nights and mornings, you know what that means. Time to schedule a $99 heating and cooling check with the five-star experts at Crop Metcalf. Yep, just $99. An expert Crop Metcalf five-star technician will check both your home's heating and cooling system for one low price. Benefits to a Crop Metcalf heating and cooling check include increasing the efficiency of your system, decreasing your energy bills, and spotting small problems before they turn into big ones. Take it from me, call Crop Metcalf today for peace of mind, no matter what tomorrow's weather brings. 1-800-GO-CROP or visit CropMetcalf.com. Crop Metcalf, home of the five-star technician and proud partner of the Washington Nationals.
Happy for the Commanders fans because it's just unbelievable.
I think you could take it like I'd look back to the Christian Laettner play.
Dude.
to make it like equal to basketball where you'd say, what's going to happen here? Phew, score.
I mean, it's just He's so much fun to watch. I mean, he's a lot like Lamar, just younger and obviously not as big and physical, but it's just so much fun to watch him. And he's got such poise about him, even as to what was going to go on. And he had so much confidence.
And when he rolled right 13, and then rolled back.
The play took 13 seconds total before he let the ball go.
Yeah, I mean, that's just poise, and that's just a special talent, and it's fun to watch.
It's crazy. It's crazy. How has – I mean, you're going into your third year here in College Park. You moved down from Jersey. How is settling into the DMV and, like, the weird differences that College Park is inside the Beltway? We're probably 3 miles from the D.C. line, but Baltimore's right up the road. Like, there's all these kind of competing interests in a very compact region.
Absolutely. But I think it's a phenomenal, and I mean a phenomenal sports town. When I say town, I say the DMV.
Yeah.
I mean, we have great teams, coaches, players. I've really started to enjoy just the fact of how passionate the fan bases are for every team, whether you're Commanders, Ravens, Capitals, Terps, Georgetown. I mean, we have so many great teams and great sports here. It took a little time to kind of find that, you know, who do I root for? And then you realize you can root for everybody because it really is. You know, Baltimore is the Ravens. You know, D.C., Northern Virginia is the Commanders.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a huge hockey fan, so we got the Capitals. You have a little – the Orioles are playing great. So I think you have everything here. You have great basketball, great football, baseball. It's really kind of – I think it's just a – it's so cool to be in such a passionate fan base and not a huge area.
Mm-hmm. Right. When you're putting a team together and you, as a coach, you look at a guy like a Jaden Daniels, you know, his personality, the way he approaches it, do you look for that? You look for guys like, okay, this guy's going to be my leader. I need him to have all that.
Yeah, I mean, again, Jaden's one of those special, I think, once-in-a-generational talents, and he has the leadership skills. But yeah. I think you definitely, you know, as you build a team, you know, last year we had Jameer Young, who was for 2 years just the heart and soul of this basketball team. And really put this program on its back. And so when you try to replace a Jameer Young, you do look for someone that has the same, mm-hmm. you know, the same attributes that he had. When, you know, Jameer had unbelievable character, unbelievable work ethic, and that's something I think, you know, Jaden shows every day.
You know, when you talk about building a team, I mean, you've been coach, assistant coach, player on some really great teams. Is there a moment when you can feel that a team has it, like whatever that indescribable, unquantifiable factor is, where they play for each other. That, you know what I mean? It just there's something there.
Yeah, I've always felt when your best player is the most selfish player, I've always felt like, you know, that's when you know you can have a great team. You know when your best player knows, like, hey, it's okay if I only get 12 points tonight because, you know, they're double teaming me and I'll sacrifice that. When your best player, in my opinion, is your most unselfish player, that's when it clicks for you and you say, okay, you know, we can be special because, yeah, we might need him to get 28, you know, tomorrow night, but he's willing to only get 12 and take away a little bit because someone else is cooking.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important thing.
I think players notice that too. You know, I've always used Alex Ovechkin. I'm like, that dude works hard as anybody out there. So nobody else can complain about anything or try to cut corners because they see the best guy getting it done.
No, absolutely. And I think when you have an all-star like him and he's working hard, but he's also, you know, he's doing all the dirty work too. I think that's also the other thing when your superstar is willing to go in there, get a box out, take a charge, get in a fight, you know, for hockey purposes.
I used to like that part.
Or football. It's funny you say that because when you have that kind of buy-in from a team, a lot of that transcends what the sport is, basketball, hockey, football, whatever it is. How do you feel like your boys are getting – when does the season start? You got to be like a week out?
Yeah, we play next Monday.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, we're right there. It starts slow and then comes at you fast.
How we look? Listen, I don't hide it. I have some Terp gear on here. I graduated here – a long time ago now. My junior year of college, we went to the Orange Bowl and won the Natty. So I don't know that that's going to be replicated.
02 is a pretty good year.
It was a pretty good year, dude. But how are the boys looking? How much excitement is there going into this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that this team, you know, obviously last year we struggled shooting the basketball mightily. You know, And one of the things that we did, mostly through the transfer portal, was bring some guys in that, you know, not only were guys were good numbers on catch and shoot, but were guys that can make, you know, tough shots when you needed them to make tough shots. And that was one of the issues we had last year was, you know, Jameer was the one guy that, that we had to always have to take the tough shot. And you, in this league, in the Big Ten, as deep it is, as deep as it is, you're going to get some shots when the shot clock's running down. And just to have one guy be able to take that shot puts a lot of pressure on him. So I have a lot of excitement. I love the way we're progressing. I like the way we're working. We got a young freshman from Baltimore that Derek Queen is going to be a special player. I think everyone's going to love watching him play and how he plays.
Big fella, right?
Yeah, you know, we're big inside. Julian Reese, one of the best centers in college basketball returning. You add Derek to him, so our front line is, you know, we can score two different positions, which we really struggled with last year. I'm excited about this team.
So I have a buddy that lives in Nashville, and he texted me when Jacoby Gillespie transferred. He said, "I'm a Belmont season ticket holder, and I'm really pissed off." Who is the kid Gillespie from Belmont?
I'm not pissed off. Jacoby's
says he's a sweet shooter.
Yeah, Jacoby's, you know, a point guard, but also at the same time, we could move him to the two-guard spot because he can shoot the basketball so well. You know, again, when you lose Jameer Young, you're not going to replace Jameer. We didn't want to put the pressure on Jacoby, like, hey, you have to go out and do what Jameer did. But we needed to find someone that was going to be able to make open shots with Derek and Juju in the post, be a very high percentage off catch and shoot, which Jacoby was, but also a guy that could run the show, but also move to the two-guard spot at times and be a little bit more of a scorer.
Okay. I am fired up. How have you come to find – Terps fans, and I mean, I've been in that, like, when Xfinity gets going, it's elite.
No, I mean, our fans are great. We have a passionate fan base.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, you know, it's a tough fan base. I'm like, go to Newark on a Tuesday night. it's a passionate fan base that wants to win, that expects to win, and they should. I mean, this tradition, not only of basketball, women's basketball, football, soccer, lacrosse. We have a great sports tradition here at the University of Maryland. It's just not one sport. I think that's why I love this place so much. It's just not one sport. We have so many great sports, so many great national championships across the spectrum that our fan base expects that. And, you know, that's something that we have to deliver on. That's something that I love. I love that pressure. I love the fact that our fan base wants that.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really fun season for Terps Hoops. We are happy to support in any way. You let us know. You guys all let us know how we can help the program. Because, I mean, working in the NFL, I have to try to be, like, unbiased and a real reporter. When I come to College Park, that's all out the window, man. This is home, right?
No, I appreciate it, guys. I mean, I think it's we're very lucky where we are. And, again, the more you can talk about the blood drive, I think the Big Ten's doing something really special. They're trying to get people to understand where we are as a nation with the shortage of blood that we have. So the more people that can come out and give blood today and maybe stop by you guys and get on the radio, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, come on by. You can come. It looks like just the main entrance in front of Tizer Tower here at CQ Stadium. I keep calling it the very old. My buddy's daughter last night, I was like, oh, we're doing the show from blank stadium. She's like, you sound very old.
Well, you are, JP.
I am. 20 years ago, I graduated from this place. Coach, thank you very much.
No, appreciate having you guys.
Appreciate
always,
the time.
Always great being here.
All right, can't wait for some Terps Hoops. When we come back, we're going to switch it back to football, try to open these phone lines in, check in with Jeff Walker, who might be floating even higher than Cloud 9.
B. Mitch here. Big changes are happening in the DMV. In the DMV, just like our upgraded football team. You saw that game yesterday. Now is the time to upgrade the comfort in your home with a Rood HVAC system. I did, and the difference is night and day. My family and I felt the change instantly. And if you don't have a Rood system yet, trust me, you're missing out. Plus, there are tax-eligible options for you in the DMV. And if you're in Maryland, you might score some utility rebates. Head over to Rood.com, find a local pro partner, and get ready for winter. Always remember, if it ain't rude, it ain't right.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. I feel like this song coming back from break is dedicated to Heavy Metal Chris. Heavy Metal Chris is out here in College Park with us. We're going to be out here doing the whole show till 2 o'clock. They got this blood drive going on. If you want to support a great cause, come check us out. We're at Gate H, Tizer Tower, CQ Stadium.
Gate I. I thought he just couldn't add.
but, dude, they also made clear that the blood drive runs through December. Yeah. So you don't have to
– December 6th.
You don't have to get here today to be a part of this thing. There's more information on the Maryland websites or the Abbott website. They're the sponsor.
It's competition.
Competition, baby.
Yep.
Everything's a competition.
Help your school out. They win this blood drive, and you can get them $1 million.
I'm probably not going to help, I'm going to be honest with you.
Well, you can go online and donate.
Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah.
I'll match your donation.
I gave him $168,000. I know you didn't.
all right. They win on this Hail Mary last night. And thank you to Maryland basketball coach Kevin Willard just joined us. If you want to check that interview out, get on the Odyssey app. Or maybe Maryland basketball is going to post it too. I don't know. We got a whole bunch of Terp coaches going to join us. Mike Loxley's joining us at 11:30. Brenda Fries, the Maryland women's basketball coach, a national champion, is going to join us at 12:30. And Matt Swope, the baseball coach, is going to join us at 1:30. We got a young man coming in to give blood right now. Shout out to that guy. We got a Skins fan walking
loaded,
in right
man.
Now.
He's loaded. Bring it in gold, baby.
B, as exciting as that win was last night, how bad of an L did the Bears kid take that was so busy talking S to fans, he didn't even realize the Hail Mary play had started?
He got what he wanted.
What an idiot.
I mean, he got what he deserved. Let's say it like that. You know, when you – listen, every time you get on the phone, a football field, basketball, whatever sport, you go all the way to the end. This dude basically did not recognize the play was going until they were damn near 10 yards from him.
Tyreek Stevenson.
And then he hits the ball. He runs it, tips the ball, and goes right to
it was great. Brown, in the locker room after the game, everybody thought Ertz had tipped it because there hadn't just been time yet enough to calibrate
to
what
process.
It actually did, to process. And Ertz is like, yeah, I know you guys think I hit it. I didn't actually hit it. I'm not sure who did, but somebody tapped it perfectly to Noah. Shout out to Tyreek Stevenson.
Way to go, brother.
I think if Tyreek's back in town, everybody in D.C., buy him a cocktail, whatever he wants to do. He's also the fella that Terry – very politely
cooking.
Explained how little he thinks of his football acumen.
But the thing I was like, listen, man, one thing I learned about Terry, he's just like Jaden. Those dudes are humble as hell. But if you talk trash to Terry, he's going to bring it to you. And they were talking a lot all week about what was going to happen and what they were going to do. Terry had 100 and what? 27, 130 something.
I'll pull it up. I thought it was 104, but maybe he had another one late.
He had four.
For 125.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So he went out and 25 yards per catch.
Pretty good.
Okay. That dude right there, I love people that can bottle up stuff, and then it comes out in their play. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he did exactly that. So I was talking before the game. I say, well, guys talk trash. Terry's got a big game today. What do you mean? I'm saying every time somebody talks trash to him in the media, he cooks him. You know? He doesn't say a lot, but you watched him yesterday. He was jawing. You know, once he gets the competition.
You ain't bleep.
And listen, man, he has Santana in him where Tanner took the stuff internally.
Sure.
He also have Gary Clark in him.
Sure.
Who talked to you the whole damn game. if he has to, he'll do it. But he'd rather just go play football and go home.
Here's something that should shock no one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Terry McLaurin is on path to have his best season ever. Amazing what happens when you get a good quarterback.
You remember, like, just a few weeks ago, people were like, oh, they're not getting him involved. What's
Jeff
going
wanted
on?
To trade him.
Yeah, Jeff tried to trade him.
Jeff, remember you were trying to trade him?
Yo, stop spewing that stupidity. I said, and we can run the audio back, I said, if Adam do decide to trade him, I wouldn't be mad because – Terry
that sounded like you didn't mind if he was gone.
That, no, I said Terry don't deserve to be in a rebuild. And if he was to go somewhere where he would actually compete, go. I want my man to have a good career. But let's stop that.
Well, guess what?
Let's stop that.
They're competing.
If I wanted Terry to be traded, JP wants to be a Cowboy fan. That's where we end at.
Hey, I'm going to say this. I know somebody said that people go from worst to first all the time. Somebody on the show said that.
Landfill, I think.
I think it's a guy that has no hair that's not as big as Jeff.
Hold on, Jeff.
I picked the Commanders to win the division.
Hold on. All right. I was the one giving out the plus 900 Commanders to win the NFC East. You guys are telling me I was crazy.
Did you bet it?
I have a little stake in it, which I'm going to need because I'm losing every other freaking bet I make. B-Mitch, I don't think these names will surprise you. Do you know who is first in the NFL in receiving yards right now?
Probably Jefferson.
Ja'Marr Chase.
Chase is?
Even though he...
Well, I should have said a receiver from LSU.
That would be correct for the first and second slots because Justin Jefferson is second in the NFL in receiving yards. CeeDee Lamb, third. Terry McLaurin, fourth.
There we go, Terry.
579 receiving yards through eight games.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man. I it's happening.
And think about the first two. It wasn't much.
Well, dude, you know what's funny is in the locker room on Thursday, I asked Terry, I was like, you know, how much of a difference does it make for you if it's Marcus or if it's Jaden? And he looked at me like he gave me this look that I joked with him about it afterwards. Like, dog, have you seen the people I've caught passes from? Like, I'm good regardless. The look, I'll try to find a still of it. It was spectacular. I think, Brian, not for nothing, they play the Giants on Sunday. Giants are on a short week. They play tonight.
Yeah.
And they could get to 2-0 in the division. They're favored on the road in the Meadowlands. And I think, you know, we are getting to a point where you can't underestimate this team. Was last night lucky? Yes. But is luck a result of your preparation? Yes. Multiple things can be true.
It was lucky, but it also was what you want. They were in the game the whole game. They were leading it the whole game. You had a defense side of the ball who did not allow a lot to happen. So you have an offense as explosive as this one. If you keep letting them sit there, something could just blow up you on early. And I was at the point where early on, I'm like, we got to get a touchdown here. Because, like, sometimes we're going to have defense, they're going to be good.
We do. I don't know. Hell, maybe it's tomorrow. Because we got a bunch of cool stuff going on with the Terps. And it's just right now it's so fun that you don't really want to get into it. But there is some warts from last night to discuss. And the red zone offense, going into last night, the red zone offense was 14th in the NFL. They were scoring touchdowns just a tick over 50% of the time they went in the red zone. Well, that's going to drop. Actually, it's probably updated by now. That's going to drop even further. And the red zone offense, I do wonder specifically last night, they didn't want to lean on Jaden's legs as much in the red zone, and perhaps that's why it got bogged down a bit. But, Brian, listen to this. They are now 25th in the NFL in red zone scoring. They get into the red zone. They've had 18 red zone touchdowns on 35 attempts. Now, they can continue to win games. They're 6-2. I'm not sounding any alarms. I'm not raising any flags, okay? But at a certain point, if we're going to continue to talk about this team and the way they win games, then you're starting to talk about winning games in January.
Yeah.
And if you're going to win games in January, that ain't going to get it done.
Yeah, you got to run the ball, too. And I think
B-Rob weirdly was out of that game a lot. Now, they didn't have any sustained drives, really, in the second half.
Well, you look at the second half, too, and, like, when things switched up a little bit after that third quarter, you're in a point where we're trying to get the ball down the field. We're trying to score. And I think coach's mindset's changed a little bit. But the ultimate thing is those guys cared about winning the game. I'll tell you something off air. I ain't going to sit on there. But they care about winning the game.
And that's what matters.
It's not about me. Let's win this damn football game. And the way that they win got it done, they were happy about that.
Totally. Here's what we're going to do. Phones? We're going to do some credit pies for a wild win for the Washington Commanders.
Credit pie. We don't need explanations on everything. Just give us credit pie.
Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Bishop Finley.